Please turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15. This morning we'll be reflecting on verse 6 through to 11. I'm going to read from verse 1 through to 15. And later on, we will be reflecting on that narrower passage of Scripture. Mark 15, verse 1. Immediately in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. And they bound Jesus, led him away, and delivered him to Pilate. Then Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered and said to him, "It is as you say." And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. Then Pilate asked him again, saying, "Do you answer nothing? See how many things they testify against you." But Jesus still answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Now, at the feast, he was accustomed to releasing one prisoner to them, whomever they requested. And there was one named Barabbas, who was chained with the fellow rebels. They had committed murder in the rebellion. Then the multitude, crying aloud, began to ask him to do just as he had always done for them. But Pilate answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" For he knew that the chief priests had handed him over because of envy. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd so that he should rather release Barabbas to them. Pilate answered and said to them again, "What then do you want me to do with him whom you call the king of the Jews?" So they cried out again, "Crucify him." Then Pilate said to them, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas to them. And he delivered Jesus after he had scourged him to be crucified. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Judas betrayed Jesus. In the courtyard, Peter denied Jesus three times. And before Pilate's tribunal, Jesus Christ was tried and imprisoned along with a man called Barabbas. This morning I wish to draw your attention to Mark 15, 6 to 11, and to the choice that the Jews had between two prisoners, Barabbas and Jesus. When asked by the trial judge, namely Pilate, who between these two men must be released for them, who would they choose, Barabbas or Jesus? And there are three answers I would like us to note. But before we consider those answers, let us observe a couple of preliminary points. The one relates to the prisoners, Barabbas and Jesus. Let's look at Barabbas first. Let's get to know who these men were. We will consider two things about Barabbas, his name and his character. Let's begin with his name. His name, Barabbas, literally means son of his father. You will probably recognize the word Abba in that name. Abba means father in Aramaic. Bar means son, son of his father. Now, it's not a common family name, because every man, in fact, is the son of his father. So it was probably not a surname in that sense. But the word father could mean something else. It is possible that Barabbas descended from a family of rabbis. You may be aware that a rabbi or teacher was officially addressed by the name Father. If this is true, then he was a man, probably a son of a rabbi, a son of a father, who inevitably had certain privileges with some education in his background. He would have come from a middle-class family rather than the slums of Jerusalem. He would have acted against Rome with rabbinical pride and Jewish patriotism, conscious of his ancestral tradition. Matthew tells us that he was a notorious or notable prisoner. He wasn't an ordinary man, a notable prisoner. He had a certain fame. He was a popular hero. He would have been like Kenneth Kaunda or Julius Nyerere, who had rebelled against the colonialists and took a stand to fight for their people, and they were prepared to revolt, to rebel, to be imprisoned. Such was Barabbas. Secondly, his name Barabbas was also a slogan. It was a cry for freedom. It represents emancipation from Rome. And it represents rebellion against Rome. Barabbas represented political revolution. Barabbas represented the weapons of this world. Barabbas offered temporary freedom here and now. He was a slogan of freedom. Notice furthermore that his name was also associated with the name Jesus or Joshua. There are manuscripts, for example, the New English Bible in Matthew 27, verse 16 and 17, where we read about Barabbas. That version literally refers to him as Jesus Barabbas. Jesus Barabbas. Joshua Barabbas or Yehoshua Barabbas. Of course, the name Jesus was a common name, as common as Joshua is. We probably have a Joshua in this congregation. In Jewish society, it was so much more common. So it wasn't strange that someone else other than Jesus had that self-same name. And of course, if you are a reader of the Bible, you will know that the name Jesus or Joshua means savior. Only Barabbas would not have been a savior from sin. He would at best have been a savior from political bondage. Well, that's about his name. What about his character? Well, we are told here in Matthew 15 that he had been thrown into prison for murder. Murder committed in an insurrection, in an uprising. And Barabbas was a leader in that uprising against Rome in Jerusalem. He was a leader. And in that uprising, several people had been killed. And of course, he participated in that act. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 14, Peter refers to Barabbas as a murderer. He was a murderer. Peter says, "You disowned the Holy One," as he addressed the Jews on the day of Pentecost. "You disowned the Holy One and Righteous One and asked that a murderer be released to you." You're asking about character? He was an insurrectionist. He was a murderer. So what we know of his character is that he was a criminal, a person to whom human life was cheap, a man worthy of death according to the law of God and indeed according to the law of man, a murderer. That was his character. What about Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ. At this moment in time, he was also considered a prisoner. And regarding Jesus, we must note first his name, second his identity, and third his character. We start with his name. His name, of course, also means Jehovah saves. You remember in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, the angel saying to Joseph, before Jesus was born, "You shall call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins." Barabbas could possibly save his people from political bondage. But this Jesus, the Christ, would save his people from their sins, from their wickedness. He would turn them from sin, from the devil, and bring them back to their God. He is Jesus in that sense. As for his identity, he is referred to here as the King of the Jews. But Pilate answered him, saying, "Do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews?" When Jesus stood before Pilate to be tried, Pilate asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, "It is as you say." He was the King of the Jews. And the title King of the Jews had both messianic and political implications. As for the messianic implications, Jesus was Messiah. King in Israel was anointed with oil as a sign of God's choosing. Messiah, Messiah, the anointed one. It was applied to priests. It was applied to prophets. It was applied to kings. And this king was therefore anointed. And he was anointed according to John above measure, because he was the king, the anointed one, to whom all anointed ones were pointing. And he was anointed to be king, to sit on David's throne, his father. In other words, the throne of David, which was an anointed throne, was also pointing to Jesus, to King Jesus. And that king was anointed to rule, not just over the Jews, but over the whole of spiritual Israel, over a universal kingdom, over all the people of God, wherever they could be found. So yes, he was a king. Yes, God anointed him to conquer the enemies of his people. God anointed him to defend his people. God anointed him to bring his people back into the new Jerusalem and the new earth. He is a king. What about his character? Well, Pilate suggests that he was a man who had done no evil. Look at verse 14. Pilate said to them, to the chief priests and the elders and the scribes and the mob, the people that they had mobilized who wanted to crucify Jesus, he said to them, why? What evil has he done? In other gospels, we are actually told that Pilate had spent quite a bit of time with Jesus, questioning him, and he had come to the conclusion that Jesus had done no evil. He was an innocent man. Paul's way of describing that in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21 is that he knew no sin. He knew no sin. It didn't just mean that he could not sin, but that he had not sinned. It was impossible for him to sin. He had an impeccable character. He knew no sin. When he stood before the chief priests, even Pilate's tribunal, no one except false witnesses could point at any sin in him. He knew no sin. When he was arrested, he was not arrested for insurrection or murder or any other moral infractions. He was arrested for righteousness' sake. He was arrested because the Jews hated his righteousness. His righteousness tended to point at their shortcomings, and they didn't like it. And so they had him arrested and pronounced him guilty and determined that he must die. Well, those are the prisoners. Let's note, in the second place, by way of preliminary points, the custom of releasing a prisoner whom the people requested at the feast. There was such a custom. We read in verse 6, now, at the feast he was accustomed to releasing one prisoner to them, whomever they requested. This was an established custom That happened around the time of the Passover feast. It was now that time. And the Jews were expectant that Pilate would release someone, one of their kind, to them. It would appear that Pilate had done this a few times. He too was expecting to release someone. It was a Jewish custom to have a man released. It wasn't a biblical custom. It wasn't even a Roman custom. It was a Jewish custom. And Pilate, of course, identified this. In John 18, verse 39, he says to the Jews, for example, "It is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover." And it was an important custom for the Jews. It fitted into their history. They had been enslaved in Egypt. And in that sense, they were prisoners. And at the time of the Passover, God released them from that imprisonment, from that slavery. The Passover feast, of course, was a means by which they remembered that release. And this gesture by the governor to release a prisoner at the time of the Passover reminded them of their freedom. And the prisoner who was released at the time was a symbol for them of that freedom. It is needless to say, the Roman politicians took advantage of that. Pilate willingly goes up to them and asks them, "Do you want me to release someone to you? It would be a good public relations gesture to release someone to them." But you'd be interested to know that the gesture, even though not commanded in the Bible, it fitted in well with biblical prophecy. Because it was said about the Lord Jesus Christ way back in Isaiah, quoted in Luke chapter 4, that he would release prisoners. And one prisoner here is going to be released at Jesus' expense. He would release prisoners. So what was happening here would fit in with biblical prophecy. So Pilate, having been familiar with the custom, incited and encouraged the people to choose, to ask to have a prisoner released. And his hope was that the Jews would choose to release Jesus. But did they choose him? Whom did they choose between Barabbas and Jesus? That's really the question we are considering here. And there are three answers I want us to note to that question. And the first is that they chose Barabbas. They chose Barabbas. "Do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews?" In verse 11, we read, "But the chief priest stirred up the crowd so that he should rather release Barabbas to them." They chose Barabbas. They chose the man of violence and murder In choosing Barabbas, they chose one who would indeed fight for them, who had been fighting for them, who had been fighting for their political freedom. So in choosing Barabbas, they chose one who would bring them political freedom. Well, in the end, he didn't. But that's the man they chose. That's the freedom they sought. Emancipation from the shackles of Rome. Barabbas relied on the sword. Barabbas sacrificed others. In voting for him, they were voting for all of these things. The sword, the death of others for political reasons. In voting for him, they chose a man who would not bring them to God. They chose Barabbas. Secondly, notice that they rejected Christ and consigned him to the cross. They rejected Christ. When the chief priest stirred up the crowd so they would choose Barabbas, Pilate answered and said to them again, "What then do you want me to do with him whom you call the King of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him!" Then Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more, "Crucify him!" Luke says they yelled back at Pilate, "Away with this man! Release Barabbas for us!" The people kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" The Jews willingly and readily took on the responsibility of the death of Jesus. They publicly took upon themselves this heavy responsibility. "Crucify him! Crucify him! It's on us! Crucify him!" They didn't know what they were doing. That is what Jesus said when he was on the cross. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." They didn't know what they were doing. For in rejecting Jesus and calling for his crucifixion, they were rejecting salvation for their souls. They were rejecting freedom from the bondage of sin. In rejecting Christ and consigning him to the cross, they showed their exceeding guilt. They chose to have a murderer to go free. And they chose to have the Prince of Life put to death. And that was an astounding act. They rejected Christ. I want us to note a third thing. They had their wish realized by Pilate. Would they have had the power? They would have killed him themselves. They didn't have such power. They didn't have such authority. Only the Romans could do that. So they handed him over to the chief Roman in the province of Judea, Pilate. Pontius, Marcus, Pilatus. He granted their demand in verse 15. So Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas to them, and he delivered Jesus after he had him scourged to be crucified. They preferred a murderer to Jesus, who was called Christ. They preferred a killer to the one who healed all the sick. They preferred a criminal to the one who preached the famous Sermon on the Mount, to the one who forgave sins, the one who healed broken lives and was sent to be broken on the cross. They preferred him, and Pilate granted him to them, and they crucified him. That's the choice they made. I want to end with three important points. The first is a question: how would you have voted on that day if you had to choose between Barabbas and Christ? How would you have voted? Well, I can hear some of you say, I would have voted for Jesus to be freed. I can hear some of you say that. Now, as you think about that question, you need to consider, now that you are a Christian, many of you are here, knowing what you know as a Christian, as a redeemed sinner, as someone washed in the blood of Christ, how would you have voted? I can still hear some of you say, I would have voted for Jesus not to die. Can you hear yourself? I would have voted for Jesus not to die. But are you sure about that? That's the question. You glory in the cross of Jesus. Are you sure you would have voted not to have him crucified? Are you sure? Would you have voted with Simon Peter? You know, before he understood things very clearly, when Jesus spoke about suffering, that he was going to Jerusalem to suffer and to die, Peter rebuked him. Don't think like that. Don't speak about that. You are the Messiah. You are the King. You will sit on the throne. You will deliver us from Caesar. You won't die on a cross. When we were looking at that a few chapters ago, you would have express concern about Peter. How can he say that? Doesn't he know Jesus needed to suffer? And yet, when you are put in this place where the Jews were at this moment in time, having to choose between crucifying Jesus and Barabbas, you probably would have hesitated, shouting those words, crucify him, crucify him. I would too, because it was a terrible thing to have a man go through. But would that have been the right choice? That's a question. At this moment, I'm just asking a question. Would you? Secondly, as we conclude, I would like us to see this, and it's a very important point. The release of Barabbas was a striking type of the gospel plan of salvation. The guilty man, the murderer, the insurrectionist is set free. The pure, the holy, the innocent, Jesus is put to death. Does that sound familiar? Sinners are set free. The innocent one is put to death. The great sinner is delivered. The sinless one remains bound. Barabbas is spared. Christ is crucified. That sounds like the gospel. This is a striking and vivid emblem of the manner in which God pardons and justifies the ungodly. How does God justify the ungodly? How can God justify the ungodly? Is indeed a righteous God? Shouldn't he, pronouncing the righteous, righteous? Shouldn't he be setting free those who have earned the right to be free? But in fact, we are told in Romans chapter 4 that he justifies the ungodly. He sets free the ungodly. Why? Well, because Christ has suffered for them instead. The murderer can go free because the sinless one has taken their sin on himself. That's the gospel. They deserve punishment, but a mighty substitute has suffered for them. They deserve punishment. They deserve death, but a glorious surety has died for them. Barabbas can go free. Christ, the sinless, the innocent, will take up his sin. This is an excellent picture of the gospel plan of salvation. The only way you can go free, because you are as guilty in some way as Barabbas was, the only way you can go free is when someone else, an innocent one, Jesus, suffers in your place. So I ask again, how would you have voted? How would you have chosen? Like the Jews here, or like Pilate? Actually, there are only three possible answers to that question. You could choose in the Jewish way, in which they decide that a murderer should be saved and the innocent should be crucified. And that's not necessarily the righteous way, because in choosing to crucify Jesus, they were choosing to murder Jesus. And murder is a sin. The other way is the Pilate way. Pilate chose to be neutral. He knew Jesus had not sinned, but he also didn't want to displease the Jews, the general populace, for political reasons. So he was neutral. And you cannot be neutral. Someone has written this rhyme. Neutral you cannot be. Someday your soul will be asking, what will he do with me? You cannot be neutral. You must make a choice. And I want to end with what I am terming the Christian way. It cannot be neutral. What is the Christian way? To trust God to save you. To trust God to save you. I cannot join with the Jews to seek the murder of the Savior. I cannot go with Pilate to remain neutral. I must trust God to decide how I will be saved. And God will arrange how you will be saved. And yes, God arranged his dear Son, Jesus Christ, to be the means by which you will be saved. It wasn't a righteous means from the perspective of the Jews. But it was a righteous means from the perspective of God. For God had decreed that forgiveness of sins will be through the remission of sin. And that remission of sin would come through the death of his dear Son, through the shed blood, the innocent blood of his dear Son. I trust God. You trust God to arrange your release. If Barabbas needed to be saved, and we don't know that he needed to be saved. We don't know that he had expressed any desire to be saved. But if Barabbas would be saved, Jesus must be crucified. If Barabbas would be freed, not just politically, but religiously, spiritually, Jesus must be crucified. So yes, it looked bad that Barabbas was free so that Jesus would be crucified. But imagine for one moment that Jesus had not been crucified. A foundation would not be laid upon which sinners like you and I would be saved. A foundation would never have been laid upon which a sinner like Barabbas would have been saved. Well, that foundation has now been laid. That foundation has now been laid. And because it has, I want you to imagine Jesus. He's standing there. In the guilt of David's murder and adultery, he's standing there, ready to take away Abraham's deceit. He is standing there, taking care of Jacob's trickery. He is standing there, ready to take away Paul's violence, Paul's murderous actions against the church. He is standing there, ready to save even a hardened sinner like Barabbas. He is standing there, my friends, ready to save you. And I don't know what you are guilty of. I don't know how deep your sins are, how many they are. I don't know. But this I know, that because Jesus was crucified, you can be released, not just politically, but spiritually. And to be released from your sin, you must call upon this Jesus to save you. You must call upon him to release you. And he is willing to release you. Whoever calls upon me will in no wise be cast out. Come to me, he says, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My friend, you have heard Jesus. You have heard about Jesus. He's been presented before you, held before you. Will you choose him and cast yourself upon him, or will you choose another? My call to you is choose Christ. Amen.